Welcome to Energy Stew. This is Peter Roth, your host, and we're going to talk about art. Not just art. Powerful art. Spiritual art. Transforming art. And you might say that all art is transforming, but this art is specially designed to have special messages. Actually, it's in a book that is called Messages of Universal Wisdom, and it is powerful. I'm serious about how I'm taking this. This art is going to be part of my life. I'm going to be keeping it around the house, looking at it a lot, because it's transformative. And to help us know more about this art is the artist herself, who is a guest on the show today, and that's Barbara Evans. Barbara, welcome.
Thank you, Peter. I am delighted to be with you.
Well, I'm so glad. I'm thrilled with the work that you're doing. And I want to start off by talking about how this came about, because you were, as many of our audience is, and I used to be, an everyday person. We weren't involved in all these universal messages and cosmic awareness and intuitive powers. We didn't know about that.
I know. It's quite incredible how my life has changed. Admittedly, over 20 years, so it wasn't instantaneous.
Well, it was almost. I mean, because it started off, it was like you were launched.
Right. Yes.
And you were launched the same way I was launched, actually. And for you, it was the death of your father.
Mm-hmm.
And that's very powerful. I had the same experience. I was much younger at the time, and I was left with a lot of questions, but the questions never stopped. And I was a teenager who was dealing with the sudden death of my father, and I knew that I needed to have answers, and likewise for you.
Absolutely. For me, it was a definite feeling that there had to be a better way of living within the world than one that was based on fear. And as I set forth on that quest, because as I look back, it was no doubt that it was a quest and that it was triggered by his passing. And as I look back on that, I had no idea where that quest was going to lead me. And the enormity of it is really quite incredible. But I feel that it has led me to this place of creating this artwork that really is able to assist people to awaken to more of their true potential, to awaken what they carry within them. And as they do that, they are able to develop better ways of living within the world that keep them more in a place of joy and peace than fear and all of those other lower vibration attributes that can be so prevalent in the world.
Well, what I'm going to be recommending in the copy for this show is for people to go to your website to take a look at these paintings to understand what we're talking about, because it's hard to do a radio show about art, about paintings. and luckily, everybody who listens to this is connected in one form or another to the internet to be able to hear this show. And so if they're at a computer or even a phone, an iPhone, for instance, they can go to your website and look at your paintings on it and understand what we're talking about and how magnificent they are, for one thing. This is great art in itself. And on top of that, there's so much infused in this. This is purposeful art. This is art created, designed with intent, spiritual intent, that is extremely powerful to move our energy fields, to move our DNA, and to enlighten us. I'm very thrilled about each painting that I look at. And I want you to know that I went about this in a very serious way after I was reading the book, there's a choice. There's 13 in this book. There are 13 particular keys of paintings that are designed to move us, image keys, and I decided that I would muscle test to see which is the first one that I need to focus on. And I muscle tested that I would need to focus on the number 10 image key, the Wisdom of Solomon.
Mm-hmm.
And that's about enhancing DNA. And I like the whole idea of it, actually. Wisdom of Solomon sounds wonderful. And so that was great. And then we muscle tested for my wife. And what came up for her was one about, where is it here? Transit of Venus. I don't know how I could have not jumped right on it here. Transit of Venus. And so then she was reading about Transit of Venus, and then she said, oh, look, Transit of Venus and Wisdom of Solomon work together.
Yeah, they were actually drawn on the same day in 2004, on the day when the planet Venus moved between the Earth and the Sun. And the paired Transit of Venus was in 2012. But those two, Wisdom of Solomon and Transit of Venus, were drawn on the same day. And then they were sort of painted simultaneously. So I did a little bit of Wisdom of Solomon and then moved and did a little bit of Transit of Venus until the two of them were completed. So they are very, very much paired images, which is rather beautiful.
Right, and fascinating that my wife and I both came up with that.
Yes.
Yeah. And so that's one way to approach these is to, and a lot of people don't know how to muscle test, and they could use their instincts. And I don't know that you can go by how they look in terms of the artistic nature of them. I think you have to read them with your heart. And,
right.
Yeah.
But some people find just as they look through the gallery section of the website. So if people are listening and they to get to the gallery, you go onto the website and then the creations menu at the top brings down a drop down which you can click on the gallery, and that takes you into the full sequence of 26 images as there are at the moment. And if you move through that sequence, sometimes you, or very frequently, you will feel that, and it is a case of feeling with the heart, that one of them almost like jumps off the screen at you.
And
that is definitely the image for you.
Right.
And but I've also found that it really doesn't matter how you choose. So some people might say, oh, 11 is my favorite number.
Uh-huh.
And so they will choose image number 11. And it will be the perfect choice for you however you determine it, whether it's muscle testing or a pendulum or it jumped off the screen at me or I like this particular number. That's the one I want to see. It's really quite fascinating the number of different ways that people will make their choice.
Right.
And, of course, it's always perfect. And then there's also a card deck that has 18, the first 18 images are in the card deck. And that, of course, is another way to choose intuitively which image. And you can do that on a daily basis, which is amazing.
Yeah.
You know, which card is going to support me best today? And pull the card from the deck and see which energy comes forward to help you with the day.
That's great. And then I believe once we choose our first one and we live with it for a little while, it can definitely integrate into our system, and then we might be ready for the next one.
Right.
Or the next
but
few.
But at the same time, the first one will continue to support you.
Sure. I'm excited. Wisdom of Solomon. I want all of that.
It will open as you awaken a little bit more of your own true self, the image you will open new layers for you. And so it is a continuous journey. I call them companions for life. But at the same time, yes, you may also be then ready to introduce another one into your life as well.
Right.
And it's beautiful if you have them on a wall in the room, because they come in different sizes. So some of them are very personal and that you just keep with you. And others, you know, are for display on the walls of your living space or your workspace. And if you have more than one in the room and have them on opposite walls, then it's as if they play together in the center of the room and create something even greater than the individual pieces.
And when you walk, and when you walk in between them, you have to say, excuse me.
When you walk in between them, it's an invitation to you to raise your vibrational frequency.
Uh-huh.
Yes.
Good.
Yeah. Well, actually, even when you walk into the room, because they affect the entire space.
Well, let's talk about how you create these, because it's fascinating the way that you evolved to become this artist. It wasn't like you were an artist and then you got spiritual. It was
no.
That you got spiritual and then you became an artist.
Yes,
there are stages too.
Yes, very much so. After the passing of my father, my first discovery was energy healing. And for 6 years, I was really absorbing and learning and studying everything that I could about energy healing. And that took me into training as a shiatsu practitioner, a Reiki master. I studied the Course in Miracles. I studied flower essences and aromatherapy. So it was a really intense 6 years of tremendous personal growth and excitement that this whole world existed that I knew nothing about. So that was my first sort of step. And then my mother passed away very suddenly, and it had a very, very different effect on me to my father's passing. But it was also a very deep place that took me into great inner contemplation. And again, there was a major shift brewing, you might say. And about 9 months later, I discovered sacred geometry 1 week. And the next week, it was suggested to me that I try drawing. Well, I was so fascinated by the sacred geometry that when somebody said, well, you know, try drawing, I thought, well, the only thing I want to draw is sacred geometry. And I chose something that looked reasonably easy for me. I really wanted to draw the flower of life, but that looked way too complex.
It sure
so,
is.
I chose a labyrinth, a sevenfold labyrinth, because I felt that that was something that I could handle as my very first painting. And so that's what I did. And as I did that, I could feel that these paintings were special and had this knowing that they were to help both myself and other people with their journey through life. And of course, that's so appropriate for a labyrinth. And so I started to develop the paintings. Each time I felt really guided, very inspired. I knew exactly what I was going to be painting. And then one day I'd wake up and it's like, today's the day. This is a day for painting. And then all of that went away. It stopped. It vanished. This developing gift disappeared as fast as it had come. And it was rather upsetting. And I really didn't know what to do. And several months later, went to my bookshelf and went, okay, I obviously have to study something else. And I chose my favorite books, the favorite sort of teachers, and ended up studying crystal resonance therapy with Naisha Ajian, who is an absolutely wonderful crystal teacher, and studied with her for about 18 months to become a crystal resonance therapist. And all this time, no painting, no guidance to paint at all. And I thought, really, that it had totally vanished. And then within weeks of getting my certification as a crystal resonance therapist, I started to be guided and inspired to paint again. But this time, the crystals were a huge part of the creation of the paintings. So I created a sacred space using the crystals. So I call it a crystal grid, but really it is creating a sacred space, and I sit in the center in order to paint. And for me, that really helps to connect me to the higher dimensions, to my guides, to my own inner essence, at the same time as keeping me really connected to the planet and the heart of the earth, so that I, you know, don't disappear out there. And I'm very grounded as I'm painting. It helps to maintain the purity of the artwork as it is coming forth as well. And I also bring the crystal energies into each of the paintings. So as you look at a painting, I have Creating the New Dream in front of me at the moment, which is number 11, and it has some very bright greens in the background. And there are actually four different crystal energies within those bright greens. There is malachite, emerald, aquamarine, and ahawite. And so those crystal energies also affect and contribute to and enhance the energy and transformational properties of each of the images.
And there's a photo in the book too of that image key with the crystals on it and surrounding it.
Yes. It was interesting because when I was painting the paintings that are in the book, the first 13, I had no idea that I was going to be writing a book. But something caused me to take a photographic record of all of the stages. It wasn't necessarily methodical. So I didn't necessarily take the same type of photograph for each of the images because I didn't realize that there was a bigger purpose at the time. And so, different images had different numbers of photographs taken, and some of them show the crystals on the drawings and some of them don't. But it was all quite perfect, and there they were when I was guided to write a book. People kept asking me, how did this all begin? And so that question was really the foundation of the book and is the final chapter in the book, my story and how it all began.
And there was your dog involved in it too.
Oh, yes. He was, at the time I was painting most of those, I had this beautiful Vizsla called Toby. He was incredible, and he was always by my side when I was painting. He would lie inside the crystal grid while I was painting, and there was a feeling that he was like bringing in this masculine energy to balance my feminine energy while all these pieces were being created. And then as I was writing the book, he developed lymphoma, and it felt like a huge test. The passing of my parents had been so distressing to me in different ways. And this work that I was doing was partly to find a new way of living and being within the world. And then he developed this form of cancer. And he had become so close to me and to the creation of the artwork. And so it was this enormous test, and it was like, well, what is going to happen? How am I going to feel when he passes away? And, we had to help him leave because he got to the point where it was just not fair to keep him in the world. And I had an incredible veterinarian who let me create a crystal grid with paintings and crystals within her office, and he left in that sacred space.
That's beautiful.
And to my utter amazement, I just felt overflowing with love in my heart as he left. It was just a different experience totally. And so that I felt to a certain extent that I I had been able to progress at least a little bit. Not that you can really compare the passing of a pet with your parents, but
he was part of this creation for you. You were spiritually connected with him.
Oh yes, yeah. So powerfully.
Right.
Yes.
Now I want to also talk about you sound like you're talking to us from England. And actually, you're in a hotel right now out west somewhere. And
I'm in Phoenix.
And your home is in New England.
Well, my home actually now is in Michigan.
Oh, is it? Okay. Moved recently.
But when we first moved to the U.S., we lived in Connecticut for 8 years. And then we moved to Dutchess County, New York.
Oh, okay.
And so your area is very familiar to me. Right. Two of my sons live in New York, one in Manhattan and the other in Brooklyn.
Oh, I have two sons living in those boroughs too.
Yeah, so we come to visit whenever we can, which isn't as much as we like. But
but your formative years were also in Connecticut, up in Lyme, Connecticut. And it was at a time when I was giving talks up there. On a farm right near Lyme, there was a farmhouse, and a woman was arranging for speakers to come in, and I came in several times, and I had these two wonderful elderly women who came to my talks, and they were the owners of Harmony House.
Oh my goodness!
So
yeah,
I knew them.
I know them.
Yeah, Mary and Elmira.
Yes.
And they used to come to my talks. So we have common ground here. Yeah.
We do indeed. Yes, and I was with both of those ladies as they celebrated their 90th birthdays and was incredibly living in Michigan when Elmira celebrated her 100th birthday, but I just happened to be passing through Lyme that day, so was able to call in on her 100th birthday. Oh, so
great.
They are amazing.
Yeah, and it was nice to have them in those talks because they represented such an acceptance that two women of that those senior years and their excitement about spirituality and the work they were doing with Harmony House was so wonderful. So I'm glad that you know them as well. There's a lot in your book and your story that I really attune to that feels just so right. It helps me really embrace the paintings even more because mm-hmm. when you have a sense of the artist and the purpose of the art, it makes it come so much more alive. And so I'm thrilled. And each painting is really magnificent. I mean, it's shockingly attractive.
And one of the things that amazes me is how different they all are. I mean, I having no background as an artist, that's one of the things that even to this day amazes me, especially when you get to some of the newer ones, which are designed for each of the seven major chakras, is how incredibly different each one of the paintings is. And
yet you've added dolphins now.
Yes.
That's new. I like that. I have a history about dolphins, and I'm an underwater swimmer. So I look at other underwater swimmers, and I go, oh, all of us were probably dolphins in previous lifetimes.
I'm sure. And the dolphins in the paintings are golden dolphins. And to me, the golden dolphins are the equivalent of the archangels in the human world. So I think of them as being high spiritual beings that are showing themselves in the paintings, and obviously connected to the living dolphins of our oceans. And I absolutely love being with them as well. But these are the spiritual dolphins coming in to assist us with our awakening.
That's great. And so you're going to be in New York giving a workshop at some point soon, right?
I am going to be in New York in April. At this point, it is more of a birthday celebration week with my family. It may be that we do a workshop while I'm there, but nothing has been established.
Oh, okay. I had the sense that one of the reasons we were your publicist got in touch with me was partly because you were going to be in the area. But certainly we'll meet up and maybe you can come on the show and talk, and it depends on your timing when you're here.
So, well, that would be wonderful.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So this is so much fun. what is your key image that you work with?
That is just like asking, which is your favorite child?
Oh, is it? Okay.
Impossible to answer.
All right.
And I work with, I work with the card deck a lot. And also with the newer chakra keys. But it's not just, you know, I do tend to have different ones that I want to work with on different days. And I am in the fortunate position, of course, in my home and studio that I can have them all surrounding me. So I have in the family room at home, I have number 18, which is called Cosmic Sunrise, which is a beautiful image to have in that sort of space. And in my studio, I have both the Crown of Hope, which connects you to your highest guidance, your higher self, for the crown chakra, and also the root chakra, which helps you to bring that guidance down and really start to manifest gifts and talents into the world. But I have Wisdom of Solomon and Creating the New Dream and Transit of Venus in there too. So it's sometimes difficult to make this choice, and people who come across my artwork often find it's difficult to choose.
Well, the book that you...
You know, you can't go wrong.
Right. Now, this book, Messages of Universal Wisdom, is a heavy book because the quality of the paper and the printing is really sensational. So the quality of the artwork in the book is beautiful to behold. And I enjoy going from page to page. You also, people can purchase your art through your website. And you have as large as 28 inches long. So that's pretty good. And they can put it up in their homes. And I'm going to, I think I'll chop up this book a bit and spread some of these images around because it's hard to keep it the cover closed. there's too much power in here to have it in a closed book.
Right. And some people just hug the book. That is another possibility.
Right. Or put it under your pillow.
Yes. Yeah, it is. I had no idea, of course, that it was actually going to weigh so much. And I did have a publisher for the book. And when they arrived.
I had three people help me carry it down to the studio. Just kidding.
I know. When you get a box of them, they really are heavy.
Yeah. But that just shows how much you put into the quality of the presentation of this and how clear you are about how important it is. So people can go to your website. What's the name of your website?
I have theedenmethod.com is the easiest way to get to my website.
The Eden Method. Okay.
Yes.
That's great. So Barbara Evans, thank you so much for being a guest on Energy Stew.
Thank you so much.
It's wonderful. Keep up the good work.
Thank you.
And this is Peter Roth, your host of Energy Stew at ProgressiveRadioNetwork.com. I can be reached at peter@heartriver.org or 212-222-7748. And thank you so much for listening.